Amen. What's up, guys? You guys excited to be here? Good morning. It's good to see you all. I'm glad that you're here. Awesome. Guys, I feel so much energy in the room today. I'm loving it. That's right. Good. That's good. I'm glad. I got to get you guys hyped up. I'm excited to be here. I'm going to start on a high note, because this sermon, I will tell you right now, is a very difficult sermon to hear. And the reason I know it's difficult, because it was very difficult for me to write, and it convicted me a lot. And so I'm sorry, but this is going to be a great time to hear it, and I'm excited for it. But high note, we have youth camp coming up. I'm the youth pastor here, and we are taking the most students we have ever taken before to youth camp. How amazing is that? That's so good. That's so cool. We have 43 total going to youth camp, guys. That's nuts. Insane. So, yeah, there's that. There's your high note for today. Welcome. I'm here. I'm excited. As Pastor Dane said, we are starting a new series today called Stand Firm. Everybody say Stand Firm. I told him, I said, wow, you have a lot of trust in me kicking off the series, because now I get to set the tone for the series. So whatever I preach here, Pastor Dane's going to have to be like, well, I've got to figure that, how to fix that out there. So this is based around the scripture in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 14, which read this. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and then it ends, do everything in love. That's great. Isn't that such a great verse right there? This series, the whole premise of it is to live sent. Everybody say live sent. Live sent. This is our mission statement for the year of 2026. And to live sent means to live the Christian life that God has called us to in John 20:21, where Jesus tells his disciples, as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. So that's what we're doing. We are trying to live sent. And so to kick off this series, I am breaking down the first command given to us in this key verse. Be on your guard, or be watchful. Everybody say, be watchful.
Be watchful.
Awesome. So, it's no secret that the American church has drifted far past what I believe the church that Jesus has called us to be. It's the truth. In fact, as a staff, we've had conversations about this, where we believe the biggest threat to the American church today is the American church. Ourselves. We have become a consumer church where it's all give me this, give me that. I want worship to sound this way at this volume with these songs. I don't want a pastor to talk about this certain worldly issue, but I want him to talk about this one. I don't want the sermon to be too long or too short. It's gotten to this point where we don't even want to go to a church where we feel convicted in that church service. We want the pats on the back, the good job, the here's your trophy. And if that is what you like, you're not going to like this series. You're not going to like this message. Because the truth is, and I want you to hear this, church is not about you. Let me say it again. Church is not about you. It's not about your preferences. It's not about how you want the coffee to taste, or if we charge it or if we don't. It's not about if you like, if our worship team has hats on or hats off or whatever. It's not about if the pastor has a good beard or not. It's not about you. And if you think that it is, then the enemy has already twisted your mind to become a consumer rather than a builder. The truth is, church, is that we are at war. Every day there is a battle over your soul that is going on, and you have an enemy, and he doesn't like you. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it reads this: be alert, or should I say, be on your guard, or be watchful. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You see, when Peter uses this analogy of the enemy, your enemy, the devil, prowling around like a lion, he wasn't just thinking, oh, let's use the biggest, scariest animal I can think of just so I can, you know, bring some fear into the church's life so they can, you know, kind of take it seriously about the devil. No, it's much deeper than that. He uses it because the devil hunts like a lion. His tactics are like a lion. Do you know how a lion hunts? If not, that's fine. I watched a whole documentary, 20 minutes, based on how a lion hunts, and I'm going to explain it to you. Lions, they typically hunt in packs. They're called a pride, and they will creep and they will stalk their prey for days. And typically their prey is like water buffalo, animals that are 2, 3, 4 times their size, into the thousands to 2,000 pounds. So they'll watch and they will follow their prey. They will typically use the dark of night to sneak closer and to get within killing distance. They will wait until their prey either lags behind or separates themselves from the herd. And then, like a precision coordinated football team, they will surround their prey. They will send two lions in the front as a distraction, while one sneaks up from behind to latch on for the kill. And it will typically take within minutes to kill. It's quick. You see, it's no coincidence that Peter uses a lion to describe your enemy, the devil, because he uses the same tactics to destroy us in our own life. He wants to sneak in the quiet of night. He wants to isolate you by getting you to believe in lies and place pride in your heart so that you think, man, I don't need anyone but myself. Can't rely on anyone. Can't trust him. You see, he wants to distract you with idols and with things of the world so that he can finally sneak up on you and kill you with sin. And not just kill you, but he wants to attack your family. He wants to attack your wife, your husband, your kids. He wants to destroy everything in your life. The Bible says that his main desire is to steal, kill, and destroy you. You have an enemy. The Bible warns us that he attacks in this way so that we can be watchful, so that we can stay on guard, because every step that this enemy uses to attack is preventable if we are alert. So how do we fight back? It starts in Ephesians 6, and it tells us to put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 reads this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Put on the full armor of God." This is a battle that we are in. It is a war, and it is time that we start treating it as such. I told this to my youth students on Wednesday, and I want you guys to hear this as well. I think most of us in here do not understand the weight of eternity. The consequences to not follow God. It's forever. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is forever. And if you understood this, there would be more of an urgency in your life to shape up and to tell others about the good news that you have already heard. It's the truth. And I'm saying this because I love you and I want you to understand that we don't have time to play around. We don't have time for games. We don't have time for tomorrow. The time is now. We are in a war. Put on the full armor of God and stand up and fight against the enemy who wants to destroy you. Man, when you have the full armor of God on, you are ready to stand firm against the enemy's schemes. When you live in truth, you can decipher lies. When you remain in righteousness, wickedness cannot stand in your life. If you have peace that comes from the gospel, chaos cannot control you. The shield of faith protects you from fears. The helmet of salvation covers you from your past life, your past sins. You've been made new. And finally, with the sword of the Spirit, we are on the attack. Guys, we're not just standing here taking a beating from the enemy like chumps. We are on the attack to crush the serpent's head with our heel. Man. Once we put on the full armor of God daily, we can now stand firm and be on guard from the enemy's attacks and begin to prevent it. So how? How do we combat the attacks from the lion? My first thing is go to sleep. Go to sleep. Just like how the lion creeps in the night, your enemy wants to hunt at night to get closer to us. Stay alert by going to sleep. Turn off your phone. Don't let the enemy get a foothold in at night. I tell my students, turn off your phone because nothing good happens when you're scrolling on your phone past 10 p.m. Listen here, church. If you are scrolling on your phone while your partner is asleep next to you, you are not staying alert. You are leaving the doors cracked for the enemy to get in. My wife and I, we check our doors every night. We lock them. We have a sliding glass door. We have a wood peg that shuts the door. We do this every night. Why? We don't want people in our house. We don't want you sneaking in. If you're not staying alert and you're scrolling, man, you're leaving it wide open for the enemy to get a foothold in your life. Once the enemy has a foothold, it's easy for him to put you in shame and to isolate you from those who love you. Man, if you are in shame, leads me to my second point, man. Get connected. Just like how the lion isolates his prey, the enemy wants to isolate us from our group and single out an attack. When he does this, get connected. Call up friends. Call up family members. Call up godly influences in your life. I said this in first service. If you're ever like, man, I don't know who to call, Pastor Dane will take your call in the middle of night. I'm not joking. This is your pastor. He loves you. He will gladly take a call. He will gladly pray for you. He will gladly help you out because you are his sheep and he loves you. Call up somebody. Surround yourself with a community of godly believers that are able to lift you up in prayer, that are able to encourage you, that are able to hold you accountable and give them permission. Don't call up someone and say, man, I'm struggling with this, and you know, and they pray for you, and then they come back and they're like, hey, how are you doing with this? And you get all offended. What are you talking about? They're trying to hold you accountable so you don't do something stupid. Man, Mark 2 tells us this story about five guys, one who is paralyzed and four who are his friends that are carrying his mat to get him to Jesus. And in this story, there's a large crowd that is blocking them from Jesus. See, Jesus has gotten quite popular and he's performing miracles and people are trying to hear him and listen to his teachings and see his miracles. And these four friends are like, man, we got to get to Jesus, but the crowd's not letting him in. So what do? They climb up to the roof of the house. They start digging in the roof and tearing open the roof to lower this man, their friend, down to Jesus. Man, get you four friends who will do whatever it takes to get you to Jesus and tell them about the sin and the foothold that the enemy has in your life. Bring it to light. Get you someone to bring you to Jesus and bring it to light. Because what keeps us weak is sin that is hidden in the dark. The enemy wants us weak so that he can distract us from dealing with what is killing us. So that my third thing is to stay focused. When the lion goes for the kill, they use distractions to keep their prey not focused on what is killing them. And when the enemy uses distractions to keep your mind not focused on the attack, not focused on the real issue, not focused on the sin. It's time to sober up. It's time to be alert, to stay focused, to stay watchful, to stay consistent, and do not let distractions keep you from dealing with what is killing you. It's time to deal with sin. Yesterday, we had a men's conference, and there was this pastor there that spoke, and he talked about sin, and he said something so profound. Sin, your sin, the secrets that you're holding on to is not only killing you, but it's killing your wife. It's killing your husband. Sin is killing your children. This is not just a you issue. This is a family issue. This is killing your loved ones. Deal with sin, man. It's like a weed. Throw this picture up here, guys. Weeds are simple plants. In fact, 99% of the time, you can pull a weed out of the ground and deal with them right then and there. But if you leave them and they go unchecked and they go undealt with even the strongest of foundations, it will grow cracks and it will break apart and these weeds will pull through. They'll grow through cement, asphalt, whatever you can think of, they'll break through. And if you leave sin in your life that is unchecked, if you leave sin in your life that is undealt with, it's like leaving a weed buried under a strong foundation. It doesn't matter how many times you read the Bible. It doesn't matter how many Sundays in a row you went to church or how long you sang worship songs. If you leave sin undealt with, your foundation will crack. It doesn't matter. Deal with sin. That's what it is. I say this because it's killing us. It's killing me. I've had to deal with sin that I've kept hidden. And it killed me. Deal with it. Worship team, you can go on. Sorry. Sorry. Are you leaving sin unchecked? You letting distraction keep you from dealing with what is killing you? Have you let shame keep you isolated? Does the enemy have a foothold? It's time. This is your wake-up call. It's time to deal with the weeds of our life. It's time to deal with secret sin. Pornography. Unforgiveness. Pride. Lust. Ego. Envy. Hatred. It's time to deal with sin. Addiction. Get it out. Be watchful. Stay alert. Because you have an enemy who's seeking to devour you. Church, can I tell you, this is the great thing. Today you can find grace. Today you can find forgiveness. Today you can find redemption at the feet of Jesus, because guess what? He knows it all. He's seen it all. And the greatest thing is that he's taken it to the cross. Your sin, Even when we don't deserve it, he took it to the cross and he died for us. He took our punishment, my punishment, to the cross, and he beat sin, death, and the grave, and he rose again, and he's offering you new life. It's grace. Here's the cool thing. You can come to him and he's not going to condemn you. You can come to him and you're going to be like, God, I've sinned. I've messed up. And he's like, it's okay because I love you and I've already taken that. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and that the old is passed away and that the new has come. It says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It says that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Christ is the Lord and that God raised him from the dead, then you can be saved. Do you need saving? Do you need to deal with secret sin? Because it's here. You can deal with it here. Jesus, will you stand with me? I'm going to pray. And then we're going to close in this song. And man, if you need to sit at the feet of Jesus, today is the day to do so. There's no tomorrow. Father, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. I know that my sin is great, but your grace is greater. It's deeper, it's bigger, it's stronger. Father, deal with the sin in our life. Lord, we give you all glory and honor. We thank you for what you are doing. In your name, amen. Will you sing with me?